Pastor John Randall with a question for you.
Let's pause for a second. Let me just ask you this question. Who are you hanging around? Who do you call those close friends? Are they influencing you in such a way that it's causing you to want to walk closer with Jesus, or is it pulling you away from Jesus? Consider your friends, consider your associates. There are certain people who are your close friends, and then there are other people who are your ministry, and you're seeking to draw to Jesus.
Well, now that we're several months into the pandemic, perhaps you've learned a few things about what's really important in life. I know I sure have. One thing many of us have discovered while in quarantine is how important it is that we're together. We need to be with others, and God intended it to be that way. That's emphasized in today's message on A Daily Walk, as Pastor John Randall is in the closing verses in Colossians.
And so here we are in Colossians chapter 4, and we'll be picking up in verse 7. The ministry of the Apostle Paul, it spans several decades. Following his conversion, he was completely committed to serving Jesus Christ. And the intensity and the zeal with which he had one time persecuted the church was now put into the work of the ministry. Missionary journeys were taken, churches were planted, and the majority of the New Testament, it was written. Yet throughout his life, Paul wasn't alone. He wasn't a one-man army. There were several friends and colleagues that worked alongside of him in the ministry. There were fellow laborers who traveled with Paul. There were others who were imprisoned with Paul. And there were churches and friends that financially supported the work of the ministry. Now, Paul was undoubtedly a soul winner. But we also come to realize he was a team player. So much can be accomplished for the kingdom of God when we're not concerned about who gets the credit. And as this epistle comes to its conclusion, we find Paul mentioning several of the names of his friends who worked alongside of him. And there's one lesson that I think that we could probably learn from these closing comments of the apostle. And that is that we need other people in our lives to walk alongside of us. We were not meant to be alone. In fact, if you go back to the very book, the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, you'll find that as the Lord was creating the world and everything within it, after he created man, he'd been saying, this is good and that is good and this is also good. But then there came a point when he said, there's something that's not good. And that was that man was alone. Man was created to have fellowship with God and fellowship with other people, to be attached and not isolated. And folks, you're realizing, I'm sure, what we're experiencing, that we need one another, that we need to be attached to the body of believers, not remote and distanced. And as we see Paul mentioning his friends by name, it gives us insight also to the type of person that Paul was. And by that, I mean, you can tell a lot about an individual by the people they choose to associate with. You can gain an understanding into their personality and at times even have an explanation of their behaviors based upon the influence of those to whom they spend their time with and call their friends. Paul chose wisely to surround himself with like-minded people who had the common goal of serving the Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible does tell us in Proverbs chapter 13 in verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. In 1 Corinthians 15, 33, the apostle warned the church in Corinth, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good habits. Let's pause for a second. Let me just ask you this question. Who are you hanging around? Who do you call those close friends? Are they influencing you in such a way that it's causing you to want to walk closer with Jesus, or is it pulling you away from Jesus? Consider your friends. Consider your associates. There are certain people who are your close friends, and then there are other people who are your ministry, and you're seeking to draw to Jesus. The apostle begins this list by mentioning two of his friends, one of whom carried not only this letter to the Colossian church, but also the letter to the church there in Ephesus. His name was Tychicus. Actually, I looked it up today. The proper pronunciation is Tychicus. I'm not going to say it that way. I've said it Tychicus my whole life. I'm going to continue to say it tonight, but that's the proper Greek translation. But notice what he says about this man. He was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord, and he's going to tell you all the news about me. And I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, we find that when the apostle Paul departed from Ephesus, there were seven other believers who accompanied him, and one of which was Tychicus. And the reason that Paul brought along this entourage of fellow servants was in order to assist him in dispersing the financial support that he had collected from the fellowships to give to those who were in need. And Tychicus is also mentioned in the letter to the Ephesians. And he's also mentioned in two of the pastoral epistles, the book of Titus and in 2 Timothy. But the apostle here gives us a detailed composite of his companion in the following description. He first of all refers to him as a beloved brother. The word beloved is a term of endearment. It meant he was much loved. Another way to say it, just in our modern terminology, Paul was saying, I love this guy. I love this guy. This guy is a blessing to me. Man, I love this guy. That's how he felt. And he also refers to him not only that he was loved, but that he was a brother. It meant he was part of the family of God. Do you realize tonight that when you accept Jesus Christ, that you are brought into a brand new family, the family of God? You have brothers and sisters in Christ, and you have this common denominator. You have the same Father, that is the Heavenly Father. You're part of a family. And for some of you tonight, you may be closer to those family members in the body of Christ than you are your nearest of kin. But we have this family that we're a part of. And Tychicus was a loved brother in Christ. But also, it says here that he was a faithful minister. He's a beloved brother, but he's also a faithful minister. That word faithful meant that he was trustworthy, that he was dependable, that he was reliable. There was a trait of fidelity that marked his life. And that's difficult to find in these days. People who are faithful. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man will abound with blessings. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus said in verse 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Tychicus was faithful in the calling that he had received. And Paul makes mention of the fact that if there's one guy, not only do I love this guy, but I'll tell you something about his character. He's extremely reliable. Are you a reliable, faithful friend? Can people count on you? Do you say one thing and do another? Do you promise to fulfill something, but then you go back on your word and make excuses as to why it is you are unable to do it? Are you faithful? Is there some fidelity that marks your life? Well, Paul said this of his friend. But not only was he a loved family member of the fellowship and a faithful minister, but Paul also added, he's a fellow servant. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. This man was a servant of the Lord. You know, it was J.C. Ryle who said, quote, the world's idea of greatness is to rule, But Christian greatness consists in serving. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you have to first learn to be a servant. Now, keep in mind, it wouldn't have been easy to be a friend of the Apostle Paul. Think about that for a second. Paul and associating with Paul could get you into trouble. I mean, Paul spent a lot of time in jail. He had many enemies. And yet, it didn't move Tychicus. He was loved. He was faithful. He was a servant. But not only was there Tychicus mentioned, but then there is Onesimus. The word Onesimus means profitable. But he didn't always live up to his name. He wasn't always profitable. In fact, you learn about this man named Onesimus by reading through the book of Philemon. Onesimus was actually a slave, and his owner's name was Philemon. And Onesimus, at one point in his life, had stolen from his master, and then he ran away to hide amidst the masses there in Rome. He was living like a fugitive. Yet as the Lord would sovereignly have it, while he was in Rome, Onesimus came into contact with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul led Onesimus to Christ, and he ended up staying with Paul and serving alongside of him. But during that time of service, Paul became aware of Onesimus's situation and found out who his owner was, Philemon. And it just so happened, well, you know with the Lord, nothing just so happens, but it just so happened that Paul had actually led Philemon to the Lord earlier. Paul knew Onesimus and he knew Philemon. And so the reason why he wrote the epistle or letter to Philemon was on behalf of Onesimus. And he began to explain the situation and how Onesimus had come to Christ. And although he was unprofitable, now he was profitable. And Paul said, I'm sending him back to you. He wants to make amends. He wants to make things right. And to kind of help Philemon be able to receive Onesimus, Paul reminded him, hey, Philemon, remember, I led you to Christ. Do me a favor. Welcome him as you would welcome me. Onesimus was a changed man. He grew in faith, and there came a point when he knew he had to return. He had to make things right. He had to be reconciled. He'd been running from reconciliation for a long time, but now it was time to make things right. God had worked in his life. Have you been running from reconciliation? Have you been avoiding making things right with someone else? You've been making excuses? Are you living like a fugitive? Well, Onesimus went back to Philemon. They were able to reconcile, and then he continued to serve alongside of the Apostle Paul after that with this restored relationship. And I find it interesting that Onesimus, his life was repurposed. It was redeemed. Formerly, he was a man on the run, but now he was a faithful servant. Maybe you know someone like Onesimus. They're on the run. They're not running from you so much as they're running from God. They're running from the purpose of God in their life. But you never know who they might run into. You know, God has his servants all over the place. And you might not be able to reach them, but who knows if there might be somebody like the Apostle Paul that they're going to come in contact with, and they're going to get saved. And that relationship could be restored. Pray for that. So here you have Tychicus and you have Onesimus, and they were given the unique responsibility, it says here, of one, encouraging the believers in Colossae. Paul entrusted this letter into their hands, and they were to take this letter to the church there in Colossae, and they were to encourage the believers, and they were also to inform the believers about Paul's condition at the present time. Paul goes on then to mention six more names of those who were remaining with him in Rome, beginning with Aristarchus. These names aren't always easy to pronounce, but you go from Tychicus, Onesimus, and Aristarchus. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. Originally, this man was from the area of Thessalonica. Aristarchus, we know from other passages of Scripture, specifically Acts chapter 19, he had risked his life in the midst of a riot. He had stuck his neck out there, literally, in the midst of the riot that took place in Ephesus. He's also mentioned again in Acts chapter 20 as one of Paul's traveling companions. As a fellow prisoner of the Apostle Paul, he would have been on the boat with Paul in Acts chapter 27 that had shipwrecked. He was a survivor on that voyage alongside of the Apostle Paul. He was a fellow prisoner. And thus, because he had suffered alongside of Paul, because he had been there in the midst of hardship, Paul had a relationship with Aristarchus that was deep, because they'd suffered together. They were fellow, not only fellow workers, but fellow prisoners in the midst of this spiritual battle. And you know, certain relationships, they go deeper than others, especially when you have suffered alongside of someone else. So there was Aristarchus. He's a fellow prisoner. But then there's another name that's mentioned here in verse 10. With Mark, it says, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. In the book of Acts, chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas had been called by the Holy Spirit to leave the church there in Antioch and to go out on their first missionary voyage together, first missionary journey, Barnabas decided that he wanted to bring along his cousin, whose name was Mark. He's a family relative. I mean, I want to bring him alongside. He's got a heart for the ministry. Let's bring him along. He can assist us. He can help us. And so Paul agreed. Seemed that Mark had potential. And so he accompanied them on their journey. But then in the midst of their missionary journey, we're not told exactly what happened. One might assume what happened, but things got difficult. It could have been Paul's health. It could have been persecution. Whatever it was, Mark decided to leave Paul and Barnabas and return back home to Jerusalem to be with his mother who lived there. He left them. I mean, they needed him. He was an important part of the missionary team, and yet he decided to leave. He couldn't take it. He couldn't handle it, and so he left. Later on, after Paul and Barnabas had come back from that missionary journey and churches had been established, they decided to go out a second time and to go back and to strengthen all of the churches that had been established, to see their brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage them in the faith and make sure they were doing well in their walk with the Lord. And so as they began to pack things up, Barnabas said, "Hey, Paul, I got a great idea. Let's bring Mark with us." The guy that left, the guy that bailed on us when things got difficult, Paul said, "No way, we're not bringing him." And there was a disagreement, an argument that got so heated on opposite ends. Paul said, "We're not taking him." Barnabas said, "We're taking him." And it got to the point where this argument reached a climax, this disagreement, and they parted ways. Barnabas ended up taking Mark, and Paul ended up taking Silas, and you don't really hear of Barnabas again. And there is some disagreement as, well, maybe Paul was too harsh. Maybe he should have given Mark a second chance. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily say that, but here's what we find out later on. What we find out is that Mark matured. He matured later on. So much so that he matured and he became a blessing to the ministry. And Paul mentions him two other times in his epistles. One right here. He tells the church, "Hey, listen, when Mark, you know, the cousin of Barnabas shows up, remember what I said about him? Hey, welcome him." And maybe Paul emphasized that because maybe his reputation preceded him. Maybe they heard about how Mark at one point had left Paul high and dry there on that first missionary journey. And, "Oh, that guy, well, I don't know that we want him here. How do we know if he's going to be faithful? What if he shows up here and he leaves?" Paul said, "Hey, listen, let me just tell you something about Mark. Receive him. Welcome him. Remember the instructions? I receive him when he gets there." I mean, Paul just covering this guy with grace. He doesn't bring up, "You know, Mark, the guy that left me, that guy, All right, let him come. He doesn't say anything about that. He said, you just receive him. That's grace, covering, love, abounding. We also find out that right before his martyrdom, the very last letter that Paul wrote before he was beheaded for his faith, he mentions Mark again. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 11, this is what Paul said. He said, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. What does that tell you? It tells you that that relationship, although at one point seemed severed and irreparable, had now been restored. They had been reconciled. And Paul said, listen, I'm about to die. Please bring Mark. He's useful for the ministry. What an amazing testimony that is. And so Paul mentions him here. And it brings up a valuable point. Maybe there are some of you that feel as though you stepped out like Mark and you failed or you missed the mark. Can I say that? Missed the mark? I'm sorry, that's terrible. Or you packed it up or you gave up or you quit. When you should have pressed on and persevered, you backed out and turned away. God is able to restore you. God is able to work in you. We sang it tonight. He's not finished with me yet. And I'm so thankful for that. God is able to restore. And maybe you've had some setbacks, but they're preparing you for further usefulness later on. And now, having fallen and struggled a little bit, now you're more compassionate. You're not so self-assured. You're far more humble when it comes to serving the Lord. And so here was Mark, now a blessing to Paul, and he mentions him by name.
Yes, God is able to restore us. Allow that to encourage you today, no matter what your past may look like. We'll hear more from Pastor John Randall in just a moment as The Daily Walk continues. Catch a replay by visiting adailywalk.org. We can also send you a CD copy for a cost of just $5. Call 877-242-0828. If you haven't already, download our free app so you can listen to A Daily Walk on your handheld devices. I should also mention we're on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV. Search for CCSJC. Maybe you didn't realize it, but we also have a TV ministry. You can now watch A Daily Walk on demand at lightsource.com and at hischanneltv.com. We have an exciting announcement. Pastor John has a new podcast called Spread the Word. Don't miss these weekly podcasts as John shares his thoughts on current events through the lens of the Bible and spreads the word about Jesus. Look for it on Apple or Google Podcasts or Spotify. I should add, A Daily Walk is available by podcast too. Our featured resource is a very cool t-shirt that portrays the message, Courage is Contagious. It'll help remind you and those around you to be courageous for Christ. And I'm sure you agree that is desperately needed right now in a world consumed by fear. It's only $15, and you can order it online at adailywalk.org. You can order by phone at 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. John Randall is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano, and we stream all of our services to you at calvarysjc.com and at lightsource.com. See when our next live webcast is and join us then. We left off at Colossians 4, verse 11. Here's Pastor John to close things out for us.
Then in verse 11, he says, and Jesus, who is called Justice. Of course, as you know, Jesus was a common name in those days. It was the Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua. And so here we find, call him also, Jesus, who is called Justice. And Paul says, concerning these men, these guys are my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision, and they have proved to be a comfort to me. Aristarchus, Mark, Jesus called Justice, were not only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, but they were also fellow countrymen. They were Jews. When Paul says they are of the circumcision, that meant they were Jewish believers. Now, not all Jewish believers were a comfort to Paul. Some really caused a lot of problems for Paul. But these individuals, these fellow countrymen, Paul Paul said, these men have proven to be a comfort to me. You know, our primary source of comfort is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says He is the comforter. He comes alongside of us. He comforts us when we are in need of comfort. But then also the Holy Spirit will at times use other people to be instruments of comfort.
And so let's allow the Holy Spirit to use us in this way of bringing much needed comfort to others at a time they can really use it. Maybe even today. Then join us tomorrow on A Daily Walk when Pastor John Randall will finish up Colossians. A Daily Walk is a daily presentation of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.